Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Well, a very late start for the show this evening. It is program 223 in the series, and we have classic radio shows for you. But to my right, the birthday girl, Lisa, although it is really not your birthday anymore.
Wow.
Because this is Sunday. If we would have been on at regular time, I could have said happy birthday to you on the
air.
So
you missed my birthday, huh?
And it
was a happy birthday to her.
Right. 19 years of age. Yeah.
It was a happy birthday to her.
You can serenade me anytime.
It was a happy birthday to the 21-year-old Lisa Wolf. It was a happy birthday to you.
All right. Well,
thank you.
There you go.
That was
pretty
my
nice.
First and only serenade. So
All
thank you.
All right. Well, we have Shante Garth in the booth. And we have classic radio shows, and we have Suspense with Agnes Moorehead in The Yellow Wallpaper, and then The Screen Director's Playhouse starring Dorothy McGuire, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming film Ocean's 8, which is both a sequel and a female spinoff of the Ocean's trilogy.
How many oceans are they going to?
Well,
they're doing oceans and oceans of oceans.
Yeah, at least 8. That's for sure.
Wow. All right. What do they win?
The winner's going to get 2 tickets to see Dracula, which is playing at Mercury Theater Chicago.
All right. Here's a hint. This actress was the star of Miss Congeniality.
You think I'm gorgeous? You want to kiss me?
Who is that actress? 312-981-7200. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
We are back. We are starting the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
You think I'm gorgeous? You want to kiss me?
We've got Marie on the line. Hi, Marie.
Hi.
Good to hear from you. Who is that fine actress who is singing?
It's Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock is exactly right. And Marie, we are thrilled to give you 2 tickets to see Dracula. It's a modern take on the classic tale. And you will be on the edge of your seat. It's now playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago through November 5th. For tickets, you can call 773-325-1700. But you've just won 2 tickets, so congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Great to hear from you tonight.
Thanks, Marie. All right. Happy birthday, Lisa. We have a good suspense radio broadcast to start off your birthday night here on the WGN Radio Theater. And it is called The Yellow Wallpaper. It stars Agnes Moorehead. Let's go back to a broadcast date of July 29th, 1948. Here's part one of Suspense.
In just a moment, Suspense, starring Agnes Moorehead.
Hi, Hap.
Hello, Annie.
How are things?
Couldn't be better, except walking 12 blocks to your service station just isn't for me. You got my new spark plugs in?
Just finished putting those brand new Autolite resistor spark plugs in your car. Guess she takes a big load off your arches, eh, Hap?
Sure does. My feet have the pep, but not the pickup. What are you listening to tonight?
Well, it's Thursday, Hap. I'm listening to the Autolite Suspense Show. Never miss it.
Well, here's where I rest my weary bones and listen to Agnes Moorehead.
Hey, Hap, here comes Frank Martin, the Autolite salesman, to join us. Hello, Frank.
Hi, Ed.
Meet Hap Horton.
Autolite spark plugs, batteries, and ignition systems.
the lifeline of your car.
Well, thanks, Mr. Horton, for the assist. And wait until I give you the real lowdown on those brand-new Autolite resistor spark plugs Ed just put in your car.
Say it later, Frank. Here comes Agnes Moorehead.
Suspense. Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations bring you radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Starring tonight, Miss Agnes Moorehead,
in a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Today, everybody's switching to Autolite, and tonight, Autolite takes pleasure in presenting Anton Leder's production of the famous short story, The Yellow Wallpaper, starring Agnes Moorhead.
I've never seen a worse wallpaper in my life. All those strangled heads and bulbous eyes and fungus growths seemed to shriek with derision. When we came to this house, the minute I saw it, I made up my mind secretly to start writing again in spite of them. But I don't dare let John know I'm keeping this journal. It's difficult being married to a doctor. John's an excellent doctor, I'm sure, but he's so inconsistent about me. He says I'm not really sick, that I'm only a little run down from caring for the baby, that I have a temporary nervous depression. Yet he prescribes phosphates or phosphites, I don't know which, and tonics and exercise. And he absolutely forbids me to work until I'm well again. He hates for me to write a word. But writing is such a relief to my mind. I can write down things, tell things here that... No, John says I'm not to brood about those things. I confess they make me feel bad, so I'll only write about the house. I saw it for the first time today. It's the most beautiful place. John rented it for the summer, and we drove up today, a perfect June morning. The bay and the white sails and people already in swimming, and then the shaded lane and the riotous old-fashioned flowers and the gnarly trees and the house. The house standing alone in the summer stillness. I could never tell John, but you know, the house spoke to me. It was only because he rattled on so that I couldn't hear what
reminded me of those English places you read about. Gardeners, cottages, and everything, and had only 200 a month.
Hedges and walls and gates that lock, and there's a ghostliness.
Remember, I rented it just for you, darling. And you're going to let Jenny do all the work while you live like a prince. You like it, darling? Speak up.
Yes, John. Yes, it's lovely, but it's strange, as though it might be haunted.
Darling, you've got that look on your face again. That dopey look. Well, Gina's home. Has a station wagon. And if I know my dear sister, she's already turned the place inside out and cleaned it top to bottom.
John, is it haunted, do you think?
What, the house?
Uh-huh.
$200 a month? Well, that's asking too much of Faith. Come on, hop up.
You always laugh at anything you can't touch or see or put down in figures. There is something strange about the house, I feel.
If you weren't always imagining...
I'm not imagining. One reason I don't get well is that you don't believe me. You don't even believe I'm sick. You tell my friends and relatives. I've heard you. I've heard you that there's nothing wrong with
me. There is nothing wrong with
you. You see, you're saying it again.
I'm sorry. Please don't cry. Now, come along. Let's go inside.
And so I came into this house in tears. It was wrong. It was all wrong. Maybe the house saw me crying or this room... I got so unreasonably angry with John. I shouldn't, I know. He's so careful and loving, and I repay him so badly. I should control myself, at least in front of him. But it makes me so tired not to show what I feel. Jenny met us at the door. Naturally, she saw I'd been crying, but she took pains to ignore it.
Well, hello, you two. You're early. You must have started at the crack of dawn. How was the trip?
Made it in less than 2 hours.
They're like as peas in a pod, Jenny and John, both efficient and kind.
And how did you bear up, Pitt?
Oh, very well, thank you, Jenny. Both kind and both somehow cruel, but I don't really think that.
Well, you're just in time for lunch. I bought a flounder down at the wharf and cooked it with capers and cream. Sound good?
Wonderful, Jenny.
May I see the house first?
The whole grand tour? Oh, Pitt, the flounder will cook to death.
Well, at least my room.
Our room.
All right, if you insist. But if that fish is spoiled, don't blame me.
Why would I blame her?
Whose room is this, Jenny? Yours?
Uh-huh, it's small, but it's near the door and the telephone.
Oh, John, look.
What?
Let's take this one for you and me. I love those roses over the window.
I've already put your things upstairs, Pet.
Well, this has a little porch and such pretty old-fashioned chintz hangs.
Well, you love the room upstairs, darling.
And you can see there's no room in here for two beds.
And I won't hear of being in separate rooms. I'm going to make you rest and take your tonic.
John and I have talked it all over. And the room at the top of the house has so many windows.
And you know, darling, you must absorb lots of fresh air. Get your appetite back.
They smother me with concern. They crush me with kindness.
Come along. There's a good girl.
All right, you know what's best. And you're going to like that nursery. It gets loads of sunshine.
Up the steep, narrow stairs, two stories up to the very top of the house. There's a gate at the top that locks. I wonder why. And beyond the gate is the nursery room. This room. It is big and airy, nearly a whole floor with windows that look every way. They say it was a nursery. But what was it, really?
Open them all, Jenny. Wide.
All right.
Well, darling?
Why are the windows barred?
For the little children. Otherwise, it wouldn't be safe.
Oh, yeah. I suppose. Children climb around so, don't they? What are those rings and things in the walls?
Oh, I expect they made it into a gymnasium when the children got older.
A sort of playground.
Oh, they must have hated the wallpaper.
Well, they were rough on it, that's for sure.
The way they've stripped it off in patches. I don't blame them. It's hideous.
Oh, who wants to look at the wallpaper with this view? My, you can see the whole bay.
It's a revolting color. It's unclean. Such a strange, sickish yellow there where the sun's faded it. I never saw worse paper in my life.
Don't dramatize it, darling. You must be hungry, and I know you're tired.
I'm not tired. Why do you both act this way? I say the wallpaper's ugly, and you look at each other. Your eyes shuttle back and forth, and suddenly you both act as though I'd lost my...
Darling, that was something we weren't going to say.
Be a good girl, Pet. We don't act anyway. We just don't want you to worry. We want you to be well.
It's true, that's all they want. John laughs at me, of course, but one expects that in marriage. And he says I have foolish fancies and he sometimes can talk them away, but not this time. No matter what he says, it's a smoldering, sulfurous, unclean, it's hideous wallpaper. No wonder the children scratched at it and stripped it down. No wonder they gouged the plaster with their little fingernails. No wonder they hate it. I hate it myself. And somehow, I feel it hates me.
For Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Miss Agnes Moorehead in The Yellow Wallpaper, Autolite's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Say, Ed, isn't she terrific?
Yes, sir. Agnes Moorehead is always terrific.
She sure is. Say, car sure sounds good. I couldn't resist stepping on the starter. Well, these new Autolite resistor spark plugs sure make this a contented car.
Yep, and you got the first set in town.
Well, right now you can get Autolite resistor spark plugs almost anywhere in the United States. It's sensational. Why, no other spark plug will give and maintain such performance.
Ooh, sounds like a good sales story. Where did the name resistor come from, Mr. Martin?
Autolite worked with leading car and truck manufacturers, and they ignition engineered a 10,000-ohm resistor right into the Autolite spark plug. That permits a wider spark gap setting and maintains it far longer than any other spark plugs.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Mr. Horton, when you replace your narrow gap spark plugs with a set of wide gap Autolite resistor spark plugs, you can tell the difference in your car.
That's right from the book, I'll bet, eh, Mr. Martin?
Well, guess so. But here's the simple lowdown. As a result of the wide gap in the resistor spark plug, your engine idles smoother. You have better luck with lean gas mixtures and save gas. And within established limits, you reduce spark plug interference with radio and television reception. Yes, and today you can get the resistor spark plug from almost any of Autolite's 60,000 dealers. That's the biggest spark plug news in years.
And now Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Miss Agnes Moorehead as star in The Yellow Wallpaper, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
We've been here 2 weeks, and I haven't felt like riding again since that first day. I'm sitting by the window now, up in this frightful nursery room. There's nothing to stop my riding as much as I please. John is away all day, and sometimes even at night if he has a serious case.
I'm glad my case is not serious. But these nervous troubles can be depressing all the same. I cry at nothing and cry most of the time. John doesn't know how much I suffer. He knows there's no reason to suffer, and that satisfies him. I suppose John was never nervous in his life. He laughs at me so about this wallpaper.
No, I won't let you have your way, you silly goose. If we'd taken the room downstairs, you'd be seeing faces in the chin straps.
Not faces. Look at that spot, John. And that one over there.
Yes, I see. It's a repeating pattern.
It's a broken neck with two bulging eyes staring at me upside down.
And to me, it's climbing ivy or some kind of a vine. Take your choice. Could be anything. Besides, I can't repaper a room just for a 3 months' rental.
Well, then let's move downstairs. Take me away from it. Don't you see, John? It hates me. I wish I'd get well faster.
Just use your will and your good sense, darling.
I'm afraid.
But you're so much better.
When I married you, I meant to be such a help, and I'm only a burden.
You are a help to me. You're my comfort.
I can't even be with my baby. It makes me so nervous. Will I ever be well enough to see him again?
Of course you'll be well, if you try.
Then I'll try, I promise. From now on, I won't look at the wallpaper, and I'll stop seeing things out of the windows.
Out the windows?
Oh, I see people walking up and down the paths and in the arbors. I know it's silly, and it's only in certain lights when I look at the wallpaper from the bed that I see.
See what?
Nothing. Nothing. No, you're right. There's nothing except a pattern.
A front pattern and an under pattern in a different shade of yellow. It dwells in my mind so. I lie on that great immovable bed. It's nailed down, I believe, and follow that pattern about by the hour. And then where it isn't faded, when the sun is just so, I see a strange, faint, formless sort of figure lurking, waiting behind that front design.
All right, that's the first portion of The Yellow Wallpaper on Suspense, starring Agnes Moorehead. We'll have more of that in a few minutes. First, these words.
Wednesday night, the Blackhawks travel to St. Louis to get their first season look at the Blues.
Blackhawks hockey.
Chris Bowden has the pregame at 6:30, the puck drop at 7. Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN.
I'm Ron Wexler with the Wexler Real Estate Group. There's two ways to get a home sold. One is passive, put a sign in the yard and an ad on the internet. The other one is active, where we go out every single day and search the market to find the perfect buyer for your home. Our active marketing system includes social media, outbound sales calls, inside sales agents, direct mail, radio advertising, and extensive internet marketing. We have hundreds of buyers actively looking for homes right now, including cash investors who can close on a home in about 10 days. My partner Tammy Northcutt and the entire team at the Wexler Group are with you every step of the way, looking out for your best interests. We've been serving Chicagoland for 35 years, so if you want to sell your home faster, for more money, and with less headaches, call the Wexler Group at Keller Williams Preferred Realty today at 1-866-699-6333 or online at thewexlergroup.com.
Tune in each week after the Bears game for the best post-game show in Chicago, The Hamp and OB Show with Glenn Kozlowski, brought to you in part by Parent Petroleum, lubricant specialists since 1983.
It's never too early to spread some goodwill and get a jump on your holiday. At a magical place called Treetime Christmas Creations, they can help you do both today. Their Wonderland showroom is filled with artificial Christmas trees, wreaths, and lights. Their trees look so much like the real thing at factory direct prices. They'll brighten your seasonal nights. All October, it's the Christmas tree trade-in. Bring yours and we'll donate it to Goodwill. Then get $75 off select Treetime trees or 15% off other Treetime trees even still. Drop off your old artificial tree at Treetime or a Goodwill store and let Treetime light up your holidays, making others' spirit soar. Just visit Treetime on Pepper Road in Lake Bennington and you'll see. We're everything Christmas for your holiday decorations and trees.
So go to Treetime, Treetime, Treetime.com. Everything Christmas, Treetime.com.
Details at Treetime.com.
Do you want to know the best way to keep yourself warm this winter?
Or do you want to know the best birthday present? Ah, two words, heat holders. Heat holders makes the warmest socks around. They keep your feet warmer than just ordinary socks in the coldest conditions. How do they do it? Heat holders uses a three-stage process with a cashmere-like advanced insulating yarn that's soft to the touch and brushed on the inside, trapping warm air closer to your skin, keeping your feet warmer, comfortable and dry, making heat holders the softest and most comfortable socks guaranteed. And I can attest to that because I have heat holder socks. Heat holders will pamper your feet. They also make hats, gloves, throws, scarves, and much more. Give someone you love heat holders for the holidays. Go to heatholders.com. Use the code WGN and save 15% off your order. Receive free shipping with any purchase of $25 or more. Remember, go to heatholders.com. Use the code WGN. That's heatholders.com.
That's right. I use them too, by the way, Lisa, heat holders.
Well, you know what? It's cold and it's rainy. It's a good day to wear some heat holders.
It is a perfect day for heat holders. So check it out, everyone.
I'm still waiting for my heat holder scarf and hat.
I ordered them.
Okay.
You are going to get it.
Okay.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. After suspense, I'll tell everyone what I got Lisa for her birthday. Her 19th birthday.
Thank you. We can take a picture.
You like it, right?
I love it.
Ah, good.
It's
she already ate one of the presents I gave her.
I'm working on it.
We'll tell you all about it after suspense. Let's go back to July 29th, 1948, for the conclusion to the yellow wallpaper on Suspense.
I don't know why I should write like this day after day. I don't want to. I don't feel able. And I know John would think it absurd, but I must express what I feel and think in some way. It's such a relief. There are things in that wallpaper that nobody knows about but me. You know, there's a woman stooping down and creeping about behind that pattern. Last night it was moonlight, and the moon shines in all around just as the sun does. John was asleep, and I hated to waken him, so I kept still and watched the moonlight on the wall till I felt creepy. The woman behind the paper began to shake the pattern as if she wanted to get out. I got up softly and went and felt the paper to see if it did move. It moved! It moved, I'm sure of it. And the poor woman cried out as though her voice came a long way over water. Thing. Then I went back to the bed. John was awake.
What is it, darling? Why, are you up? Well, you shouldn't go walking around like that. You'll catch cold.
The moonlight woke me.
You are cold. You're shivering.
John, I'm not really getting better. Won't you take me away?
Lisa will be up in 3 weeks, darling. I don't see how we can leave before then. Of course, if you were in any danger, I would, but you really are better, dear, whether you see it or not. I'm a doctor, and I know.
Oh, my appetite may be better in the evening when you're here, but it's worse in the morning when you're gone.
Why, you're gaining flesh and color.
I don't weigh a bit more, not even as much.
Well, bless your little heart. You shall be as sick as you please. But let's go to sleep, huh? And talk about it in the morning.
You won't go away?
How can I, dear? And why should I, since you're better?
Better in body, perhaps, but
darling,
in my health.
For my sake and your sake and for the sake of our child, I beg you not to let that idea enter your head. Not for an instant. Can't you trust me as a doctor when I tell you it's a false and foolish idea? Answer me, darling. Don't you trust me?
Yes, of course I trust you, only...
What?
I'm sleepy. Let's go to sleep. But I didn't sleep. I lay there for hours trying to decide if the front pattern and the back pattern move together or separately. At night, in the moonlight, the front pattern becomes bars. And the woman behind it shakes the bars. Yes, she shakes the bars as she creeps around. I lie down ever so much now.
John says it's good for me and to sleep all I can. But you see, I don't sleep. And that cultivates deceit, for I don't tell him I'm awake. Oh, no. Fact is, I'm getting a little afraid of John. He seems very odd sometimes, and it strikes me that perhaps it's the yellow wallpaper. I like this room now. And life is much more exciting than it used to be. I have something more to expect, to look forward to watch. And I really do eat better, and I'm quieter than I was. John is pleased to see me improve.
You see? You're flourishing like a weed in spite of your wallpaper.
Yeah. In spite of the wallpaper. In spite of it. Because of it. But I had no intention of telling him that. He might want to take me away, and I don't want to leave now until I found out. There's 1 week more, and I think that will be enough. There's a funny mark on the wall low down near the mop board. A streak that runs around the room, goes behind every piece of furniture except the bed. A long, straight, even smudge, as if it had been rubbed over and over and over. How was it done? Who did it? What did they do? Round and round. Round and round. Round. It makes me dizzy. I've really discovered something at last. There are a great many women behind the pattern, and sometimes only one, and she creeps around fast, and her creeping shakes the pattern. She's trying to climb through and can't because the pattern strangles everything. But she does get out in the daytime. I know because I've seen her. When a car comes, she hides in the blackberry vines. I don't blame her. I'd hide, too. I always lock the door when I creep by daylight. There are only 2 days left to tear this paper off and let the woman out in the room. And John's beginning to take notice. I don't like the look in his eyes or the way he talks with Jenny about me. I overheard them.
She isn't sleeping nights, Jenny. She's quiet, but I know she's awake.
Well, it's little wonder she sleeps the whole blessed day.
Yeah. Maybe I ought to call in another doctor.
No, it's just stubbornness, John. She's determined to prove you're wrong.
I suppose you're right. Oh, I'm sure she'll improve. Oh, darling.
Well, hello, pet. How you creep about?
Well, that's a funny thing to say, Jenny. It isn't I who creeps.
Jenny says you stay in your room too much. You don't take your exercise.
You tell me to rest, and then you tell me to take exercise. I can't do both.
Well,
as though I can't see through them.
Tomorrow's our last day here. We'll talk about exercise when I get you back to town.
I'll have to rouse you out of bed pretty early, pet. You know, some of that furniture up there belongs downstairs, and the movers will be here at 9.
Maybe you'll sleep upstairs tonight, Jenny. So you won't be alone, darling.
You won't be here tonight, John?
Well, not until tomorrow evening. There's a difficult case.
If you're going to feel lonesome...
Oh, no, Jenny. I'll rest better alone, I'm sure of it. Thank you all the same. That was clever of me. The sly thing. I won't be alone a bit. As soon as the moon shone in, the poor thing behind the paper began to crawl and shake the pattern. I ran to her. I pulled, and she shook. I shook, and she pulled. In my morning, we'd peeled off yards and yards of yellow wallpaper, a strip about as high as my head and half around the room. When Jenny came up in the morning, she looked at the wall in amazement. You know why I did it, Jenny? Just to spite the vicious thing. Why are you so surprised?
Oh, I'm not. Why, I wouldn't mind doing it myself. But you mustn't tire yourself, Pet.
She wouldn't mind doing it.
Why don't you come downstairs and lie down?
How she betrayed herself, that Jenny. She wouldn't mind doing it. But I'm here and no person touches this paper but me. Not alive.
I've locked the door and thrown the key down into the front path. I don't want anybody to come in till John comes. I want to surprise him. And I've got a rope up here. Even Jenny doesn't know that. If the woman gets out from behind the pattern and tries to run away, I can tie her securely to one of the rings in the wall. There, see how the pattern moves, like wallowing seaweeds. Oh, it'll strangle her unless I help. Wait, I'll help you. I'll peel off the paper all I can. Wait, be patient. You push. You push it, I'll pull. Oh, it sticks horribly to the plaster. I can get it off with my teeth. Oh, it hurts. But I'm getting it. Wait, just a little bit more. I'm getting it. A little bit more. I wonder if they all came out of the wallpaper as I did. I think they did. But I have you securely tied by my rope now. You'll never get away. But I don't want to get away. It's so pleasant to be out in this great room to creep about as I please. It's so pleasant. But I suppose I'll have to get back behind the pattern when night comes. That will be hard to do. Well, it's better than going outside. I won't go outside, even if Jenny asks me to. For outside, I have to creep on the ground where everything is green instead of yellow. And here, I can creep smoothly on the floor. Listen, she's coming now.
Darling, open the door. You hear me? Open the door.
Oh, it's John at the door.
Open the door, darling. Open it, please, dear.
Oh, he does pound and shout. It's no use, Dr. John. You can't open it.
Open it, do you hear me, dear? Open it. Jenny, bring me the axe.
Oh, no, he'll break down that beautiful door. John, dear, the key's down in front of the house under a plantain leaf.
Please. My darling,
it's
please.
Down by the front door, John.
Open the door, for heaven's sake, open
it. I can't. The key's downstairs, John. It's under a plantain leaf by the front steps. It's under a plantain leaf, John. Go and see. You'll find it if you look. You'll find it. There. He's gone to look. The wallpaper has stopped laughing. The evil thing. Now I can creep slowly, smoothly on the floor. Round and round, and round and round and round. And my shoulder just fits into that long smudge on the wall, so I can't lose my way. Oh, he's coming back. He's running on the stairs. How astonished he'll be.
Darling. Oh, my dear, what is it? What's happened?
I've got out at last, John.
Out? Out
yes,
from...
out in spite of you and Jenny. I pulled down the paper. I shook the pattern and pushed and pulled it down. It stuck horribly. But you'll never put me back. He'll never put me back. You're so pale, John. Why do you close your eyes? You what? Watch how swiftly I creep around in this lovely yellow room. Fainted? Now why should that man have fainted? But he did. And right across my path by the wall, so that I have to creep over him every time. Round and round and round and round.
Thank you, Agnes Moorhead, for a magnificent performance.
It's always a great pleasure for me to appear on Suspense. I've thoroughly enjoyed this appearance this evening. And next week, when I turn listener again, I'll join the rest of you to welcome Mr. Charles Lawton's return to these microphones in a role written especially for him. Next week, then, An Honest Man, starring Charles Lawton, on
Suspense. Agnes Moorhead may soon be seen in the Warner Brothers production, Johnny Belinda. Tonight's Suspense play was adapted for radio by Sylvia Richards from an original story by Charlotte Perkins Gilman. Music was composed by Lucian Morawick and conducted by Lud Bluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Mr. Charles Lawton in An Honest Man.
This is the Autolite Suspense Show saying good night. Switch to Autolite.
This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's the part you would have, Lisa, the Autolite switchboard operator.
I would love to be the Autolite girl.
Switch to Autolite. Good night.
That's right? A great role.
Yeah, you write the whole show,
that's
30 minutes. And you have to be there for the rehearsal and everything. And then that's what you get to say.
Well,
at the
I
end.
Wouldn't have any problem memorizing my lines. So, yeah.
Switch to Autolite. Good night. You could do
I
that.
I got it down. You
are the Autolite stay full battery
that's
girl.
That's the perfect role for
I
me.
I know. That is Suspense with a Yellow Wallpaper from July 29th, 1948, starring Agnes Moorhead, also in the cast, Paul Frees, and William Johnstone, is heard on CBS. Sponsored by, as Lisa said, Autolite. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, so you liked your present?
I loved my present.
All right, tell the listeners what I got you for your 17th, or is it 18th birthday?
70. For my 70th birthday.
Right. So what did you get?
I got a pair of hunter boots.
Yes, you did.
For the rain, which is perfect because it's raining.
Yeah.
And they're really cute. They're black and they have laces on them.
Cute.
They're really cute.
Yeah.
And I got a chocolate-covered caramel apple because that's my favorite treat.
Right. I also got you a gift card, but I just forgot to bring it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you better go get it and quick. But love my
present. It's a gift card from Neiman Marcus.
Well, that you can't go wrong.
And it has a 5 in it, and then it has a decimal and then 2 zeros.
$5.
Yeah.
$5. That's
gift
good.
Card.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
You could probably get a bottle of water there.
Plus tax,
maybe.
Maybe
some gum.
I don't know if they sell gum, but if they did, it probably would be more
they
than
$5.
They sell
gum at Neiman Marcus, I'm
Neiman
sure.
Neiman Marcus gum?
Yeah, they have gum.
There is a restaurant at my Neiman Marcus. You could probably get a roll.
Is it your Neiman Marcus? Do you own it?
Oh, the one by me is mine.
Oh,
I feel
ownership
Lisa towards
owns
it.
The Neiman
and
Marcus.
Roger just came down and gave us all gifts.
Right.
So we're going to post a Halloween spirited photo for our podcast, and you'll have to wait until
what other great gifts did you get for your birthday, Lisa?
Well, my kids got me a pair of pajamas with doggies on them.
What?
Yeah, doggy pajamas.
Okay.
Because I
Simba
love my
pictures
doggy.
Of Simba on it?
No. Do they come with little ears?
No, just the really cute, just doggy pajamas.
Nice.
And my husband got me some jewelry. So
I'm
happy.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Dan came through.
We did it together.
Oh, you did. You know, it's always good when you're going to get a woman jewelry. It's always good that the woman goes with, because having her pick it is a lot better.
It was
is.
More like he went with.
Yeah, exactly.
She walked first
he
and
took
said,
out the
I'll
credit
have that
card.
And that and that, and he just pulled out the card.
Yeah, it doesn't work quite that way, but yeah, exactly like
you know
that.
What? I really am a big believer in that. If you're
going to
buy...
how pretty is this
it's
ring?
Gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. Just a great job, Dan. Really good job. Boy, I'll tell you.
Yep, he was good.
Yeah. All right. So happy birthday, Lisa.
Thank you so much.
In our next hour, we're going to tune into the Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of The Spiral Staircase, starring Dorothy McGuire. And we are going to post, if we haven't already, a picture of Dorothy McGuire doing a radio broadcast. What a cutie she was. Check her out on there. And then we also had a picture of Agnes Moorhead up. We always post pictures of the stars that we're playing here on the WGN Radio Theater at our Facebook page. So go on to Facebook and then search WGN Radio Theater and check out the pictures. And please like us when you're there. We'd love to build our likes. So stick around. Our next hour, we will have the Screen Director's Playhouse.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Number two of the WGN Radio Theater. And you know what, Lisa? In this hour, you know what we have?
No, Carl, what do
we have? We have Dorothy McGuire starring in a radio adaptation of the film that she starred in, Spiral Staircase, on the Screen Director's Playhouse from 1949. We have an abbreviated show. We started an hour late this edition, which is episode 223 in the series, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars as Atlantis's chief scientific advisor in the upcoming superhero film Aquaman.
Oh. What is the?
They're
going to
win two tickets to see Dracula at the Mercury Theater, Chicago.
Very good. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor played the Green Goblin.
Don't be a coward. Risks are part of laboratory science.
All right, who is that actor? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Don't be a coward. Risks are part of laboratory science.
And Shantae took a call off the air, and we found out that Steve knew the answer, and the answer was Willem Dafoe. So Steve is a winner. He won two tickets to see Dracula at Mercury Theater Chicago. So congratulations to him. It's running through November 5th. For tickets, you can call 773-325-1700.
All right, very good. You know what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
The Screen Director's Playhouse was one of several radio shows where they would actually take a movie, adapt it for radio airplay, and then they usually had the stars of the movie recreate their roles on radio. Leading Hollywood stars would perform in the radio adaptations of their movies, and it was really cool. Lux Theater did it. Screen Guild Players did it. Academy Award Theater. This particular series was a little different because at the end of the broadcast, the director, because it was called the Screen Director's Playhouse, the director of the film would be on hand to take a curtain call, chat with the star about the making of the film. Very, very cool show. Came to NBC Radio in 1949, lasted all the way to 1951. This episode is from the very first year, November 25th, 1949. It's the Screen Director's Playhouse presentation now of the Spiral Staircase, fine gothic suspense story, and Dorothy McGuire stars in it. Let's tune into part one now of the Screen Director's Playhouse.
From Hollywood, the Screen Director's Playhouse. Screen Director's Playhouse, star Dorothy McGuire, production Spiral Staircase, director Robert Siodmak.
The Hollywood Screen Directors present a play on silent words. The motion picture drama Spiral Staircase, starring Dorothy McGuire in her original role of Helen.
Sunday school is all right, but I wish they'd treat us like women. My golly.
They make us skip the Book of Ruth and the Song of Songs, which is Solomon.
Especially that. My golly, it's in the Bible.
Oh, it's beautiful. My beloved spoke and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone.
What's wrong with that, I'd like to know.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And St. Elmo. What's wrong reading St. Elmo? Now, if you ask me, I think that the... My golly, a fire on Sunday?
Yes.
Let's follow it, Helen.
Hush, child.
Mother.
Don't cry out. Don't speak. There's no need to speak now. It's all over, my daughter. So hush. Hush. Hush.
From that day on, I was never able to speak again. Whenever I tried, I'd hear my mother's voice again. My mother, who had died in the fire, saying,
"Hush, child. Hush."
I could make people understand me with simple signs, a nod, a shake of my head, pad and pencil. Later, I left my hometown to take domestic work with the Warren family, Professor Albert Warren, his half-brother Stephen, and his stepmother, Mrs. Warren. It was all I wanted. Then, one Friday evening, I was coming home from the village where I'd gone to see that newfangled amusement motion pictures. It was a bleak November dusk, and there'd been some mysterious excitement in town. Something quite terrible. I didn't know what.
Ellen? Ellen, is that you in the road?
Oh, it's Dr. Perry. It's the young doctor who likes me, I think.
Ellen? Oh, it is you.
Nod and smile, Helen, as though you could speak. But choose to nod and smile as ladies do, by choice.
Yeah, it's good to see you smile. Well, hop in, and I'll drive you right onto the Warren's gatehouse. Here's a hand.
Yep, you go. Yep.
There. Yep, Galen. Well, I've missed you, Helen. How have you been, Helen?
Smile and nod. Good.
Good.
Oh, he's missed me, he says.
It wasn't a very nice thing happened in town on your day off.
Oh, what was it, I wonder?
Young woman, rather pretty young cripple, was murdered. Do you know that?
Another one.
And I'm telling you because I want you to be very careful about going out after nightfall, that's all.
Oh, he's kind. Could he really like me?
Now tell me, how much longer are you going to stay on at the Warrens?
I know what he means.
You know, you've got to make an effort to get back your voice, Helen.
Oh, he mustn't.
Oh, I know. Much rather I wouldn't talk about it.
I would rather.
Not that there isn't a certain beauty and grace in your stillness. You're not mute. You're still, but somehow eloquent.
Oh, I love him so.
And everything you think is in your eyes, Helen. Good night, Helen. Be careful.
Thunder. Hurry. Only a few more yards to the house. Rattle a stick on the picket fence. My kind of whistling in the dark. Crippled girl murdered. Why? Who? Faster. Faster. Run.
Oh, it's you, Helen.
Professor Warren. He looks worried or angry.
I'm glad you're here, Helen. I wonder if you'll go up to see my stepmother. She's feeling worse again. Thank you, Helen. Thank you.
Where have you been, Helen? It's late.
She never remembers. My night out.
Oh, put that eternal pencil and pad away. Never mind.
She's ill. She doesn't mean to hurt.
I hoped you were never coming back tonight.
Why? What can she mean?
Helen, run away. If you know what's good for you, run away.
What'd she say?
Leave this house tonight.
Helen, mother.
Oh, don't call me mother, Albert.
The most shocking thing has happened in town.
There's been another murder.
Why, how would you know?
Yes, how?
How do you know, Albert?
Well, the constable was just here. Very curious. I'm mentioning this in Helen's presence for good reasons. Every one of those murdered girls had some kind of affliction.
Affliction?
Yes, the servant girl had a bad scar. Second one was wrong in the head.
This one limped.
Albert, where is Stephen?
Stephen, I...
Has Stephen come in yet?
Why?
Answer me.
No. Why?
Because... There's the rain. He'll be drenched. That's why.
I want Helen to be especially careful for the next few days.
He's good, too. Kind and thoughtful and good.
Helen, if you see anything at all outside this house that makes you suspicious, I want you to tell me.
Yes, not yes. Thank you.
I have some dictation to give Blanche on my book. Remember what I told you, Helen. And don't trust anyone.
Helen, pack your things and leave.
Leave? No. Why? Where? No.
Shake your head off if you like, but leave tomorrow. Meanwhile, there's a gun in my dresser.
No, I'm afraid of guns.
Oh, stop shaking your head at me, girl. Stop contradicting me. You're in danger here. Do you want...
It's an attack.
Dr. Perry. Get me, Dr. Perry. Hurry. Stephen?
Yes, Mother. I just got in.
Drenched. His shoes coated with mud.
Where's Dr. Perry?
On the way, Mother.
There's been another murder.
Oh, has there?
Oh, why didn't you stay in Paris?
Don't you want me with you, Mother?
Where were you tonight?
If you must know...
I must know, yes.
She knows something.
I was out walking with Blanche.
No.
Blanche, Professor Warren's secretary. They both left.
I think the professor will want to talk to you, Stephen.
About the murder?
Why, no, Stephen. About Blanche, his secretary.
Very well, Mother.
It's quiet now. We're waiting for Dr. Perry to arrive. Quiet now, but the professor and Stephen have had a dreadful quarrel about Blanche. She's very pretty and no afflictions, and so men quarrel over her. Stephen and the professor hate each other, and it's so terrible. Both, after all, had the same father. Dr. Perry!
You know, Dr. Perry... You look a little like my husband.
Oh, really, Mrs. Warren?
Yes.
Was he kind, too?
He
had husband?
A sure step,
gentle and kind to girls
man.
With
Would
afflictions.
I? Well, I'm flattered. Thank you.
He always told me I wasn't as beautiful as his first wife, but that I was a much better shot.
She has a gun in this very room.
Yes, the beauty my husband admired was the beauty of strength and of character. And both of his sons were weaklings. Stephen and the professor.
I'm weak, too. Afflicted.
Dr. Perry, you love Helen.
Mrs. Warren.
If you love her, and I know you do, get her out of this house.
Now, you're upsetting yourself again.
Get her out of this house while there's still time. Do you hear me? Do you? Do you? Do you?
Helen. Helen, brandy. Quickly.
Brandy, brandy. I've looked everywhere. None. None in the pantry. None in the closet. I'll run into the study to find Professor Warren. Brandy, brandy.
Write it out, Helen, will you?
Yes. B-R-A-N-D.
Brandy.
Yes, brandy, yes.
I'll have to fetch a bottle from the cellar. Get Mrs. Oates out of the kitchen. Tell her to come with me and bring a candle. Hurry, girl.
Warren is resting again. Mrs. Oates is back in the kitchen in a stupor from the brandy she managed to steal when she went down into the wine cellar with Professor Warren. Blanche stays in her room. I wait in the parlor while Dr. Perry gives Professor Warren some instructions.
Helen.
Oh, Dr. Perry, looking so very tired.
I want to talk to you.
Oh, he mustn't apologize.
Here, sit next to me here.
Oh, he mustn't try to explain that it was Mrs. Warren and not he who said he loves me. I understand.
I've been thinking things over, Helen. Mrs. Warren is right.
He says Mrs. Warren is right.
You should come away with me tonight.
Oh, he does
you
love
can
me.
Stay at my mother's house until I take you to Boston to see a specialist.
Oh, afflicted.
Helen, the Fabers on Pepper Street have an out-of-town guest, Betty Lindstrom.
Betty Lindstrom.
She went to Sunday school with you years ago.
Sunday school. Betty Lindstrom.
He tells a story about a young girl walking home from Sunday school one day.
No.
And when she wasn't far from home, she heard a fire engine rushing down the street. It was her own home, wrapped in flames, her mother and father trapped inside. She tried to scream.
Mother.
Scream, Helen.
I can't.
Scream.
Can't.
Try.
I'm trying.
Why?
Trying. Trying. Trying.
Helen, you can speak. Speak! Oh, Helen. Helen, I'm sorry. I was trying to help you.
I know. He's so good.
That must be for me, Helen. I left this number with the Wilsons. Their boy is very sick. Here, I'll write the Wilson telephone number on your notepad. 1-8-9.
189.
Yes, and have Mrs. Oates call me there if you need me. Now, if you'll go to the door with me, I'll take it as a sign that you forgive me.
That's the first portion of The Spiral Staircase, starring Dorothy McGuire, on the Screen Director's Playhouse. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolfe.
Hey, Lisa, do you want to know the best way to keep yourself warm this winter?
I sure do, Carl.
Two words, heat holders. Heat holders makes the warmest socks around. They keep your feet warmer than just ordinary socks in the coldest conditions. And you know how they do it? Heat Holders uses a three-stage process with a cashmere-like advanced insulating yarn that's soft to the touch and brushed on the inside, trapping warm air closer to your skin, keeping your feet warmer, comfortable, and dry, making Heat Holders the softest and most comfortable socks guaranteed. Heat Holders will pamper your feet. They also make hats, gloves, throws, scarves, and much more. Give someone you love Heat Holders for the holidays. Go to heatholders.com. Use the code WGN and save 15% off your order. Receive free shipping with any purchase of $25 or more. That's what I did. I made sure that your order was over $25, Lisa.
Oh, good.
So don't call me a cheapskate.
Oh, no, I would All never, right? ever.
Remember, go to heatholders.com. Use the promo code WGN. Save 15%. That's heatholders.com. Hey, folks, I want to remind you that the Bradford Exchange has awesome Chicago Cubs plates. You should see these plates at the Bradford Exchange. I got one recently for my son. And you should go to the Bradford Exchange and then search Chicago Cubs for awesome plates on our championship Cubs, right?
Great.
But they need to win. This is no good. I don't like when they don't win.
No.
They lost to the Dodgers in the first game.
They're still fine.
But they're going to come back and win. It's a best out of seven games. So someone's got to win four games first. I think they can come back and do it, Lisa.
I think so, too.
Otherwise, I'm going to play third base
for them.
There's
a lot of support.
I'm
going to
play third
Chicago.
Base for them.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back now to the Screen Director's Playhouse.
Oh, it's a wretched night. But the rain's over.
Not yet.
Smile, Helen. Please.
Smile.
That's better. Thank you.
Thank me.
Now, be sure and lock the door, won't you? And don't open it for anyone but me.
But before he went...
Good night, Helen.
He kissed me. He kissed me. He wants me to come away with him. He kissed me. How was it long ago, in the Bible, in the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, my beloved spoke and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. For lo, the winter is past.
It's a wretched night. But the rain's over.
The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of singing is come.
Arise, my love, and let me see thy countenance.
He loves me.
Let me see thy
he
countenance.
He loves me.
Let me hear thy voice.
Voice.
For sweet, sweet is thy voice. And thy countenance is comely.
Voice.
Let me hear thy voice. Let me hear thy voice. Let me hear thy voice.
Hush, daughter. Hush. Hush.
You are listening to the Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of The Spiral Staircase, starring Dorothy McGuire in her original role of Helen, the mute girl, and John Daner as Dr. Parry.
Dr. Parry has been gone almost an hour, and now a second bitter quarrel in the house. Stephen in Blanche's room next to mine, raising their voices.
Stephen,
Blanche crying, Stephen taunting her, laughing
at her. In my room, especially the professor.
Crying, my dear Blanche, makes no impression on me whatever. I like to see women cry. It makes me feel so superior.
I'm not going on with you anymore, Stephen. We can't hide our feelings from the professor any longer.
Just why should we hide our feelings from my stepbrother? Oh, I forget you did have a certain interest in him.
You are a pig.
Now, Blanche.
Get out. I'm leaving tonight. The better to wash my hands of you.
As you wish, Blanche. But you'll regret this. I honestly think you're going to regret this most seriously.
Blanche has left her room and gone down to get her suitcases out of the cellar. I'd be afraid to go down there alone. It's very dark in the cellar. There's a spiral staircase that goes round and round into the dust and the damp and the darkness, round and round into darkness.
Oh, I'm sorry if I disturbed you, Helen. Do you know where Blanche is?
Blanche. Isn't she up from the cellar yet?
Helen, I'm speaking to you. Will you please find Blanche? I want her to take some dictation in my study. At once.
Spiral staircase. Going round and round. Down into darkness. Into the dark. The damp. The shadows. Blanche. Where's Blanche? It's been almost an hour. Dead. Murdered. Who could have... Stephen.
Dead?
Nod yes. Yes, nod yes. Yes, yes. Dead, yes.
All right. But let me handle this, Helen. Do you understand what I mean?
I could dash for the door.
Helen, answer me. Do you understand what I say?
Dash for the door. Open it. Slam it. Bolt it outside.
Helen!
Helen! Helen!
Helen, what happened? You're terrified.
Pencil. Lost pencil. Pencil.
Are you trying to... Pencil? Here, right.
Right. Yes, right.
Blanche?
Yes. M-U-R-D-E-R.
Helen, in heaven's name, are you... Do you know who did it?
S-T-E-P-H-E.
Stephen?
Yes.
Of course.
Why does he say of course?
Helen, where is Stephen now?
Locked in cellar.
Oh. Helen.
Why does he look at me like that?
Helen. Look there in the mirror.
Mirror?
Go on, look at yourself, Helen.
Why does he do this?
You see, Helen, you have no mouth.
No mouth? I know what he means, but why should he say it so cruelly?
No mouth, Helen. And in all this world, there's no room for imperfection.
He's so strange.
We're alone, Helen. Mrs. Oates is very drunk because I purposely let her steal a bottle of brandy when we went downstairs before. My stepmother is helpless in her bed. And you have just locked Stephen in the cellar. Blanche is dead.
He is the killer.
Blanche, whom I loved and who betrayed me with Stephen, is dead. Or I killed her.
He's mad.
What a pity Father didn't live to see me become strong, to see me dispose of the weak and the imperfect in this world.
Escape.
I put on these leather
gloves. Escape. Where?
Father would admire me for what I'm about to do.
I know. The gun. The gun in Mrs. Warren's room. Escape. Not so imperfect as he thinks. I run like the wind, climb the stairs to Mrs. Warren's room like a cat, slam the door and bolt it in his face. Gun, pad and pencil, right, gun. Wake up, Mrs. Warren. Wake up. Oh, please wake up. Her eyes are opening. Now, read. Gun, the gun. Where is the gun?
Gun? What gun?
Helen!
She knows where the gun is. She must know.
Helen!
It's no use. She's drugged or poisoned. Someone at the door downstairs. Someone's outside. Professor will have to answer. And then I can steal downstairs again, down the spiral staircase. Free Stephen. Get Stephen to help me. Yes. Round and down. Down and round. Into the darkness. Into the shadows. Softly, softly. A foot. I saw a shoe draw back into the shadows under the last spiral. The professor, waiting. Turn. Softly. Go back. Softly. Step. 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 And run! God, Mrs. Warren, at the top of the steps.
Stop where you are.
Mrs. Warren.
Both of you.
She has the gun. Why does she point it at both of us?
Mother.
No, only your stepmother, whom your father always taught never to waste a single shot. You murderer. It was you who killed all those girls. I thought it was Stephen. You always waited until Stephen came home to cast suspicion on him. Never waste a shot. Your father taught me. Never a shot. Helen, girl. Better get me Dr. Perry.
Number, please.
Hush, daughter. Hush.
Number, please.
You see, Helen, you have no mouth.
You must leave this house, Helen.
Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice.
Number, please.
You have no mouth. Let me hear thy voice.
Number, please.
Thy voice,
no mouth.
Thy voice,
no mouth.
Thy voice,
no mouth.
Thy voice,
no mouth.
Number, please. Number, please.
1, 8, 9.
Thank you.
Hello? Hello?
Dr. Perry?
This is Dr. Perry. Who is this?
It's me.
Who?
Helen.
Helen? Oh, Helen, darling, what's happened? What? Wait, I'm coming right over.
Darling. He said, darling. My beloved spoke and said unto me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. Arise, and let me hear thy voice.
Dorothy McGuire will return in just a moment. Next week, as always, another great star repeats a brilliant performance on Screen Director's Playhouse. Our story is All My Sons, and recreating his original role will be Edward G. Robinson with Screen Director Irving Reese. Now, here again is tonight's star, Dorothy McGuire.
Thank you so much. The part of the mute girl in the picture Spiral Staircase was a pretty frightening assignment, until I found out my director was to be Robert Siodmak. Robert is a kind of super-talented elf who directs his pictures with a magnificent mixture of skill and gaiety. As a result, he says he has only one regret about Spiral Staircase. The studio wouldn't let him slide down the banister. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to meet Robert Siodmak.
Thank you, Dorothy. But after listening to Spiral Staircase tonight, I must make a confession.
About what, Robert?
Well, I thought it would be impossible to do a radio drama in which the central character was a girl without a voice. But it was done beautifully.
Well, thank you. My part was a little larger than the three or four lines I had in the picture.
Mm-hmm. This picture business. You know, before Spiral Staircase, a producer said to me, Robert, what do you think of Dorothy McGuire? She's wonderful, I told him. She has the most magnificent voice. And he said, that's fine. We put her in a picture with nothing to say. Well, you know how producers behave sometimes.
And, Robert, I loved every minute of it.
Well, next time they ask me about Dorothy McGuire, I won't mention your voice. I say she's so beautiful and a great dramatic actress. Well, then they probably tell me to direct you in The Invisible Woman.
Just so you don't play the part of an invisible director, Robert. And seeing you behind those cameras again is something I'm looking forward to.
Well, I know I'm a beauty. Thank you, Dorothy.
Thank you, Robert. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
And good night to you, Dorothy McGuire and Robert Siodmak. Remember next week, Edward G. Robinson and Irving Reese with Jeff Chandler. Spiral Staircase was presented through the courtesy of RKO Radio Pictures, producers of that hilarious comedy Bride for Sale, starring Claudette Colbert, Robert Young, and George Brett. Dorothy McGuire will soon be seen as the star of the 20th Century Fox production, Oh Doctor. Robert Siodmak's latest production for Universal International Pictures is Deported, starring Marta Torin and Jeff Chandler. Included in tonight's cast were John Daner, Stephen Dunn, Georgia Backus, David Ellis, Jane Webb, Betty Moran, Jane Morgan, and Dan Riss. Spiral Staircase, based on a novel by Ethelina White, was adapted for radio by Milton Geiger, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Screen Director's Playhouse is produced by Howard Wiley with dramatic direction by Bill Karn. This is Jimmy Wallington speaking and inviting you to listen again next week when we present
Screen Director's Playhouse, star Edward G. Robinson, production All My Sons, director Irving Reese.
What's on NBC Sunday? Sunday on Hollywood Calling. You may be called by motion picture stars June Haver and Richard Widmark to win a wonderful prize and crack the Film of Fortune jackpot. Make a note to stick close to your radio and your telephone Sunday for Hollywood Calling. It might be your lucky day. So listen to Hollywood Calling Sunday on NBC.
Stay tuned for Bill Stern and the Sports Newsreel on NBC.
Yeah. He dropped the microphone there. Did you hear that?
I wasn't the one that dropped it.
No, the guy.
Oh, the guy. I'm like,
Jimmy
what?
Wallington did.
Yeah, he did.
Stay tuned for Bill Stern Sports Newsreel. That's up next, Lisa.
Great. I'll be here.
Don't miss that. All right. That was the Screen Directors Playhouse, November 25th, 1949, with the Spiral Staircase starring Dorothy McGuire. Also in the cast, John Daner and Steve Dunn, along with Jane Morgan, Jimmy Wallington doing the announcing. That was over NBC.